This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now is our man, Marty Smith. You guys watch him on ESPN. Mike and I really enjoy his features. He does a great job of bringing you different angles of college football. And dude, you got a chance to be on the field doing that referee thing. It was pretty cool, huh?
A chance to be, yes. that's well said. I learned a lot, man. First of all, I hope you guys are great and had an awesome Easter. I'm going to have to do it. I declined a couple times because it just gave me so much anxiety, the very thought of it. I knew that, I mean, I thought after football, I've been around the game a long time, and I get the opportunity to spend time with these coaches and players and settings where I learned so much, but when I went through that ref school, I realized I don't know a whole lot about the game of football, and everything that they have to manage so quickly and process so quickly is really remarkable. And so I was the center judge, and for those of you listening who may not know that positioning, you're sort of catty corner behind the left tackle on the offensive side of the ball. 10 or 12 yards back, and you're keying on the left tackle, and you're watching to make sure he does his job well and does his job without cheating. And then you sort of, once you realize that he's doing that well and that he isn't doing anything illegal, then you open up your field of vision and watch the backfield a little bit to make sure the quarterback doesn't get lit up illegally or any shenanigans occur back there. And like I never even considered it, guys. I never even really considered all the teamwork and whatnot that goes on with the officiating crews. I have an all new respect for them. And the biggest anxiety that I had heading into it was, man, I really hope I don't have anything to do with positioning the football. Lo and behold, the center judge spots the dang football. So it wound up going okay, but there was a lot of funny moments out there. As you guys know, the team, the red and black teams, were playing against one another in the game for a steak dinner versus Beanie Weenies, and I was struggling to spot the ball at one point, figure out where the hell I was going, and one of the offensive linemen goes, "Party, party, come on, man, spot that ball, you're going to be Beanie Weenies with us." So,
yeah.
It was quite an education, fellas, I'll tell you that.
And that's the thing, is Marty Smith joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Marty, if you don't know, I know you watch ESPN, so you see him, does great jobs with those features. Marty Smith's America, made his bones in NASCAR, and now does all sorts of cool interviews and stuff. Yeah, man, I saw Andy Staples already blogged in SI saying how hard it was. You actually were huffing and puffing because, as you said, you got to get the ball down and get back and then blow the whistle, be ready to roll.
Yeah, I was actually yelling at Andy one time because I swear he wasn't on the right spot. And so I'm yelling at him, and lo and behold, all of us are mic'd up, by the way. At least I was, Dusty Dvorak was, and Molly McGrath. Well, yeah, and Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge both were as well. Basically, any of us that are on ESPN, ABC broadcasts were mic'd up. And so I'm hollering at Andy. I'm like, "Man, come on, you're making me look stupid. Let's go." And it was just quite an experience, and it was another funny moment. You know what I should do? I should probably write all this down as well. But at the beginning of the second half, I was standing there with the football, getting ready to hand it to the kicker or whatever, and Jake Fromm walks over, and he's like, "Man, you are really not very good at this." I said, "Brother, I know. I'm sorry. I'm just learning." I said, "Thank goodness it's not my chosen passion, because I really do stink at refereeing football games." And I'm again, I had a lot of apprehension going in, and I will say Shaw and his whole group with the SEC and the way that they prepare officials and the fact that they even gave us the opportunity. We got there on Friday, and I drove down from Charlotte where I live, and, I mean, it was like a hurricane trying to get to Athens. And so it took what is usually about a 3.5-hour drive, took me 5.
Mm.
And so I show up late to this ref school, and we went till almost 10 o'clock that night.
Whoa.
And we're really learning the intricacies of each position. We did a big group meeting, and then we broke out into individual meetings. We had real crew guys, real officials with us, mentoring us, who had worked the biggest games in the conference over the past 10, 12, 15 years. So they're the best of the best. And I kept saying to everybody, y'all don't understand how much apprehension I have in this. And then we got right back after Saturday morning, man. We had breakfast at like 8, and we were right back in school all the way until we got dressed to go to the stadium and start this deal. And let me tell you the worst part. I forgot this part. This is funny. It's the like fourth play of the football game. I'm not even in the first drive of the game. They let the professionals ref the game so that we could just shadow them one quick time and really get our bearings on positioning and what we're trying, what our visuals should be. There's a pick six on the third or fourth play of the game. And so when that happens, the center judge, it's the center judge's responsibility to call the touchdown, to get to the goal line and ensure that player X crosses the goal line or not. So I am sprinting back to the goal line, and the guy scores, and I'm seeing my mentor, the real center judge, give the touchdown signal.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Shaw, the official, is giving the referee is giving the touchdown signal, and I'm like, all right, well, that was interesting. Like, asking Steve, my guy, they're both named Steve. What you got, man? What you got? And Steve's like, what do you mean touchdown? He said, well, what's the penalty flag for? Fellas, my flag fell out of my pocket.
Oops. Oops.
I'm like, I haven't even, like, hardly put on the uniform, and I've already screwed it up.
Know your gear, man. Secure your gear. That's funny, man.
Yeah, like, golly, what a loser.
It is Marty Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What's your relationship with Kirby, man? I know you get a chance to hang out with these coaches on a different level and get to know them a little bit more than most. He did mention you a couple of times on the broadcast. What's your relationship with Kirby Smart?
It goes back to Bama and, you know, his time there. And, of course, he was a Knicks defensive coordinator for so long and obviously the best in the business. And so it goes back there. But we had a lot of fun picking on each other. And especially on Saturday, I admire him so much and I'm so impressed. I had really high expectations for him when he went to Georgia, but he's exceeded them already. And I hate to, you know, in my real job, I'm going to have to ask again when we get to the SEC media days about how do you use this now as a lesson with what happened in the national championship game 2 years ago, and then you come back to what happened in the SEC championship game this time around. Those are gutting losses.
Right.
And in your market, the folks that are listening, forgive me for reminding you, because I know that for Georgia Bulldog fans, those are gutting losses. But I also know this. Dog fans are thrilled to be this relevant. They're thrilled that they are always in the conversation, not just among the conference elite, but among the national elite. And the way that Kirby is recruiting, the tireless effort that he's put in to recruiting and getting these unbelievable players. I'm telling you guys, I was so impressed with what I saw Saturday. And again, I didn't really look at the game on Saturday from an analytical or reporting point of view. I was really focused on that left tackle's butt. But they got some dudes, and I mean they got some real dudes in Athens, Georgia. So I couldn't be more impressed with the man and what he's doing there. He's only getting started.
Right, and that's the thing. Just a matter of beating Alabama. That's the only thing keeping him from having that championship. Marty Smith's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Marty, love the Marty Smith America's podcast. Always great guests. Cool stuff features you do on TV. Remember last year you went to Grand Canyon with Scott Frost, who's now, you know, obviously trying to get it cooking at Nebraska. You've interviewed some really cool people. What's the most fascinating interview you've done recently?
That's a hard one because I get to do so many interesting ones. Yeah, I was obviously Tiger is top of mind right now because I was in Augusta for 8 days doing coverage for ESPN, and also I was so blessed to be asked by Augusta National to host their first ever official podcast this whole past week. And so while I didn't sit one-on-one with Tiger, I was there, and I was immersed in that moment. And, in fact, I just finished my first book. It's due out August 6th. And I actually called my publisher on my birthday, which was the Monday after the Masters. I was driving to Universal Studios to take my kids and meet my wife down there in Florida for their spring break. And I called my publisher, and I said, do I have time to write an addendum? Not only did I just witness history, I was also in some small way a part of it. And it was one of the most unbelievable moments I've seen, and I'll tell you guys why. I'm going to try to paint this whole picture for you and your listeners. So okay. When he was on 16 and almost aced 16, I walked out to 18. I left the media center, and I texted my bosses and said, guys, I won't have my phone. I'm going to history. And so I left my phone there, which you do at Augusta, of course, and walked out to 18. And, guys, there were throngs of people. I don't think it's an overstatement to maybe guesstimate 10,000. Mm-hmm. And they were lined all around the 18th green, 10, 12 deep. They were down the first fairway. They were down the 18th fairway. They were down the 9th fairway, all preparing to get the smallest glimpse of this unbelievable moment of redemption. And that's the word I use because that's what it was. We, you know, we're all flawed. All of us make mistakes in life. And it's always one, and that's one reason that we love to see a comeback story as human beings because they're relatable. And as I'm standing there watching Tiger walk up 18, and watching this group of people chant, Tiger, Tiger, at the top of their lungs, it was so different than a typical day at Augusta National. And the air was reverent. The air was awestruck. The air was aware. All of us had this keen awareness of what I just stated. Not only were we seeing history, we were immersed in it, and we all knew it. And there was this unique air of humility because redemption is beautiful. And we all knew it. And as he walked off the green and hugged Charlie, his son, and we were all whisked back to 1997 when he, barely a man himself, hugged his own father. And that's relatable to all of us. And these two dudes walked over to me, guys. So I don't get real preachy, but I'm a man of faith. Like, I look at most things in my life through that prism. And these two dudes walked over to me, and one of them said to me, as I'm feverishly scribbling these notes, Marty, we see ourselves in Tiger's victory. Huh. And I found that to be a very interesting comment. I said, how? And this is what that guy said to me. I found out later these were Clemson University campus ministers. And he said, We all make big mistakes in life, but we are also all afforded the opportunity of redemption. And I found that to be such a profound statement. Mm. And then to see everything Tiger said to us, the assembled media, after that, about his kids only seeing golf bring their dad pain, and now they've seen joy. About, I just hope my kids are proud of me. And him hugging those people that stood behind him when he literally couldn't stand himself. Last year he told me, man, he couldn't even lay in the backyard
or excuse me, couldn't even lay on the floor right. and play Legos with Charlie. He couldn't go out in the backyard and kick a soccer ball with Sam. And then he has his back fusion surgery, and not only could he be a present father, somewhere along the way he went, oh, man, I can swing a club with you. Guys, I could go on for days. Like, it was just such an unbelievable moment, not only in sport, but, like, in American culture.
Marty,
we're going to tell our grandkids we were there.
Absolutely. We came in Monday, and, Marty, we got to run. We want to get you back on, obviously, dude. I know you're doing a lot of different stuff. Congratulations on the book.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.